Drones activity in this country has become so common that most New Zealanders will have by now seen one flying or heard one flying. Because this form of aviation is still comparatively new, some people feel threatened by such aircraft. They're scared, for instance, that the drone might be spying on them. But flights by drones, which incidentally are also known as unmanned aircraft or UA, are way more often on perfectly legal, legitimate business. They might be being operated by a surveying company, for instance, or a real estate agent or a professional photographer. I'm Pen Mackay, and I'm joined here by Corey Price, who's the CAA's team leader of the Unmanned Aircraft Unit, and Scott Griffith, who's the Deputy Director of the CAA's Emerging Technologies Program. We're going to talk a little bit about what you, as a member of the public, need to know about UA flights in your neighbourhood. This is the Vector Online interview, The Business with Drones. Corey, we'll start with you. The Civil Aviation Authority divides operators of drones into Part 101 operators and Part 102 operators. What's the difference?
So here in New Zealand, we've got two rules that we operate under. Civil Aviation Rule Part 101 and Part 102. Part 101 operations are very prescriptive. They tell you what you can and can't do when you're flying a drone. So for example, the rules say you're not allowed to fly a drone at night. You must have consent from people and property owners before you fly over any person or over any property. There are rules around how close you can fly to an aerodrome, for example. Part 102 is the rule that we use to certificate a drone organisation. So a Part 102 unmanned aircraft operator certificate allows us to consider a safety case from an operator and assess that operator's ability to be able to do what they would like to do. So that might be flying at night, for example, and that operator will be expected to show us how they will mitigate the risks of their particular operation and reduce those risks to an acceptable level.
But both types of operators, Corey, have to comply with the civil aviation rules, don't they?
Yes, they do. And even for our Part 102 certificated operators, where they can, our expectation is that they will comply with those more prescriptive Part 101 rules as well.
Okay. Scott, someone who sees an unmanned aircraft flying in their neighbourhood won't necessarily know if it's virtually a toy and should have your permission to fly over your property, or is actually flying on a commercial operation perfectly legitimately. If they're worried about a drone that's flying near or over their property, what can they do?
Yeah, so a professional Part 102 operator who has the civil aviation privilege of flying over property without consent will normally still have to notify the owner of that property prior to doing it. And that notification will include contact details. So you can also always get in touch with them to discuss what's going on. Sometimes, however, due to the short notice nature of some jobs, the prior notification isn't practical. So that might actually have to happen afterwards. But in any case, the remote pilot won't be far away and they should be reasonably obvious. A lot of companies will have a sign-written car. They'll probably be wearing a high-vis vest. They might even have a sandwich board on the road saying, please don't disturb the pilot. And that would be my piece of advice here, is that if you need to chat to the pilot about what's going on, you can go and find out where they are. Just wait until they've landed and then just ask if they can have a polite conversation with them about what they're doing. And any professional will be more than happy to explain what they're doing and what they're achieving it. And they'll probably show you the footage that they've taken or whatever they've been gathering during that flight.
In some ways, the contact between a resident and a Part 102, or in fact Part 101 operator, is kind of uncharted territory. And I hear you saying words like, you know, politely ask and all that sort of thing. Both sides have to give a little to the other side. This is an area that could get quite contentious, right?
It could be, and people are often concerned about privacy. You know, privacy with a drone is exactly the same as with any other camera. So if there's a reasonable expectation of privacy, then that should be respected. But if you're out in public, then you could be expected to be photographed or filmed by anything, including a drone. But the thing is that if a survey or inspection is taking place where there's a drone flying over your property and you feel uncomfortable, the first thing is to realize is that the imaging is almost certainly not of your property. It's probably of an adjacent one, and they're just having to go over your property to get the correct angle. But again, you know, if you feel uncomfortable, then as before, just wait until the drone's landed and go and have a chat. But you're right, it does take give and take, and it will require the drone operator to say, look, yes, I will have a conversation with you and I'll explain what I'm doing.
Okay, good. Corey, where can people go if they have concerns? Now, privacy is not a CAA concern specifically. That's not what we're here for. We're about safety. So if people have privacy concerns, where would you advise that they take those concerns?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Pen. If you witness a drone fly over your property and you believe that your privacy has been breached in some way, then you can certainly follow up with the Office of the Privacy Commissioner or the New Zealand Police.
Okay, good. Thank you. Now, I understand the Ministry of Transport is looking at the registration of all drones, unmanned aircraft. What progress has been made on that?
Yeah, the Ministry of Transport is working in that area, and consideration is being given to the introduction of a registration system here in New Zealand for all drones above a certain weight. That process is ongoing, and a final decision on whether it will or won't go ahead has not been made at this stage. What I can say, though, is that if the Ministry of Transport does look to implement a compulsory registration system for all drones, that will play an important foundational pillar in some of the emerging future drone technologies and things that we're trying to enable using drones into the future, including things like advanced air mobility operations, airborne taxi type of operations, drone delivery services and things, so that you can shop online and buy your sneakers and have them delivered straight to your door using a drone. So for that type of system to be effective into the future, things like registration will need to play a fundamental part of how we manage that.
And I understand that there's an app which is currently being used overseas quite a bit that would help members of the public identify a drone once registration comes in.
There's certainly some work being done to develop apps, and there are some protocols and some standards and things that a number of organisations are working on worldwide that will in time potentially allow you to download an app. And if you see a drone flying across your backyard you want to know what it is that drone's doing, you'd likely be able to start your phone app up and point it at the drone, and it will tell you exactly what that drone's up to, perhaps even who the drone is registered to if it's a legitimate commercial operation.
Okay, thanks, Corey. Scott, in all this talk about drones and people having privacy issues about them and that sort of thing, we sometimes miss the advantages of drone technology. Perhaps you can wrap up our interview by explaining some of those.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Pen. The capabilities of these types of systems is developing at an extremely rapid rate. So, you know, we've got to lift our gaze from just the drone that you might buy from a department store and then fly around after Christmas. There's far more things that can be done with that. And there's a chance here to contribute to climate change goals by decarbonizing certain transport modes. There's that. And then also, you know, it can reduce congestion on our roads. Could be either transporting goods or indeed people in the future. And this actually may end up saving lives, because if you can get urgent medical care or supplies to places that are inaccessible and you can do it a lot quicker than with our current capabilities, then we may see benefits in that area as well. So we've got a lot of work to do at CA to make sure that these use cases are safe. And there's a huge amount of work being done overseas as well. And we are in regular contact with our counterparts overseas. It's not just us trying to figure all this out. But rest assured that work is ongoing. And before any of these capabilities do come in, we will have assessed them as being safe.
Okay, thanks, Scott. And to you, Corey, both of you, for being here to explain to the public a bit more about drone operation in New Zealand. If any of you listening want to know more, you can go to the drone safety page on our website, and the link to that has been uploaded to the same page that this interview is on. You can also listen to the interview BV Loss Operations in the GA Pilot with Corey, Scott and Mark Houston, one of our CAA aviation safety advisors, and to another interview called If You Fly a Drone, You're a Pilot, again with Corey and Scott. But this has been the Vector Online interview, The Business with Drones. I'm Pen Mackay. Thanks for listening.